You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
This is Warbird Radio.
On this episode of Warbird Radio, we continue our conversation, as we do every month of March, focused on safety. Today we're talking to air safety investigators, very own John Lomar, who many of you might have heard speak at the National Warbird Operators Conference the last 2 years during the safety stand down. He's a pilot. He's also a flight safety expert. Please welcome John Lomar to Warbird Radio. And John, I really appreciate you coming on today.
You bet. Glad to be here, Matt.
What should folks be thinking about right now, this time of year, as these aircraft are rolling out of the maintenance hangars? And oftentimes, it's the first flight of the year for the person flying that aircraft. What should be going through our mind right now?
You know, that's a great question, and this time of year we tend to focus on things like maintenance. Of course, like you said, the airplane's coming out of maintenance, and that's always required. But you know, from my experience with warbird accidents, and in particular fatal warbird accidents, the number one thing I would recommend is that the pilot just sit down and kind of get your head back in the game and get your head around what it is that you're about to do that maybe you haven't done for 2, 3, 4 months. Because the fatal accidents in the warbird industry are almost always due to bad decisions. And then, of course, there's a proficiency issue. If you haven't flown 2, 3, 4 months, you need to go out and get proficient. The accidents that come from proficiency issues almost always are, you know, what I call embarrassing accidents, ground loops, off-runway excursions, gear-up landings, those type of things, but they're not fatal. So the biggest takeaway, I think, for that is head work before you're flying any time, but especially if you haven't flown in 3, 4 months.
Yeah, don't miss the head work of getting yourself back in the game. And that can be a variety of things. Are there courses that you would recommend or anything like that regarding getting back in the head work? I know, you know, AOPA has some wonderful stuff, but is there anything that you've seen that works?
You know, AOPA has some good things with regard to crew resource management, even single pilot crew resource management, decision making, and that's probably the best single recommendation I could make. In terms of courses you could take, you know, outside of the airline industry and maybe the military, those are hard to find.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's something that we as a community need to start looking into, because it's not the first time that's come up.
No.
Let's talk about the fatal accidents that we had last year and what we've been able to take away and learn from those, if anything. I'll let you run with those here.
Well, I not just last year, but I just finished a project for NATA, you know, the North American Trainer Association. I'm their safety director, and I went back and looked at warbird accidents, particularly North American warbirds. So I looked at the P-51, T-6, T-28, and Navion, and from 2000 through 2024, 25 years worth of data. And I culled through all that data, and I pulled out the most common accident, and then the most common type of fatal accident and the number of fatalities associated with each category, and then broke down overall by aircraft of those four types. And it was really interesting, I think, some things that we pull out of that. First and foremost, the largest overall accident category was loss of control on the ground. So, you know, it's a ground loop, those types of things, off-runway excursions, landing short of the runway, those kind of things are, you know, a loss of control ground. And 56 out of 196 total accidents, for about 28.5%, were loss of control ground, but only two were fatal. So in the T6 world, that's where most of them occurred because, you know, obviously it's a tail dragger. 49 of those type of accidents out of 102 total accidents. So 48% of the T6 accidents were loss of control on the ground, but only one fatal. So the second largest overall category actually was engine failures, and that's largely in the T28 world. So the total engine failures, 37 out of 196, about 18.9%. 11 of which were fatal. And then the third biggest category was what I call low-level maneuvering. 23 out of 196 accidents, 11.7%. But here's the big thing. 30 of those were fatal. So you had 23 accidents, 30 fatalities. So the lesson from there is low-level maneuvering, and the next highest category, which is loss of control in the air, resulted in the two highest categories for fatalities. So loss of control in the air and low-level maneuvering are almost always fatal accidents. Loss of control ground, you know, like I said before, those are usually embarrassing accidents. It was a big takeaway, and it's a very black and white statistical evidence here over 25 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 25 years worth of data. The embarrassing stuff, the ground loops, loss of control on the ground, only two resulted in fatalities. The other one that is alarming to me is the loss of power. And you said largely in the T28 community. And I'm sure that you've unpacked that. But that's something that folks practice time and time again. And it's good to know that the training somewhat still holds, but that's always something we can improve upon. The loss of control in the air and the low level stuff, a lot of that is about decision making, it sounds like, and I'm guessing that's where you're driving that statement from.
Yes, loss of control air certainly can be a proficiency issue, but a lot of times it has a decision making component attached to it. A number of those accidents, I couldn't keep the exact number right off the top of my head, were an engine problem, not necessarily even an engine failure, but a rough running engine or low power or something like that. And then a pilot turns back to the airport, tries to make, you know, what we call the impossible turn, stalls the airplane and crashes it. So that's loss of control air, but it was a bad decision to put yourself in that situation in the first place. Low-level maneuvering is just a matter of, I call it low-level maneuvering, it's aerobatics, but, you know, aerobatics in and of themselves are not dangerous. Proficient pilot in a certified airplane that's had some instruction in aerobatics and kind of knows what's going on, go up to a good high altitude, do aerobatics all day long. That is really not unsafe statistically. What's unsafe is, I know you've heard me say this before in my NMOC presentations, is the word impromptu, where somebody just decides to, hey, watch this. Hadn't really thought through or planned out. And it, then a big zoomie or a loop or a roll close to the ground, and they lose control and crash the airplane. That is the single largest source of fatal accidents, and it's the most preventable.
And here's my other question to follow that on with. There's no data, I'm assuming, that supports this, but the fact of the matter is the word impromptu in front of it. If you simply brief your flight, even if it's, as you say, getting into your own head, if you simply brief your flight with yourself or with your passenger, and if you're going to do something that is aerobatic, at least talk about it, say what altitude you're going to be at that gives you a margin of error, but say it, physically say it and audibly say it. And then it seems like there's an insurance policy built in with those words.
There actually is, and there is, I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but there is data that proves that if you brief a flight, fly your brief, it's a good deal safer than not briefing the flight. That's why the airlines brief. Airlines, for instance, you know, I was flying for the airlines, we would sit at the gate and brief the route from, say, 843 to the right. Both of us, myself and the pilot, had taxied that route probably 100 times before. But we brief it because it gets your head in the game. So we brief the taxi, we brief the takeoff, we brief the departure. And then while we're en route, we brief the approach, the arrival, the approach, and the landing, and the taxi into the gate. All that is briefed ahead of time. And there's no reason you can't do that. Just brief yourself in any general aviation airplane, just Woolworths.
Yeah. Just good practice to have that and to have that extra insurance policy. What do you wish people would understand about that? Because I think that there seems to be a disconnect, something so simple, but yet a lot of these fatal accidents, that was not the case. That was not what happened. And we just came off of an episode about this type of impromptu thing, especially when there's a passenger involved, talking about the mental health aspect, how power on the brain is almost like having the brain on cocaine. That all runs together. When you start stringing that trail, What do you want people to understand about this?
Well, you know, and what you just said relates to what I was going to say next. That's a good, great segue. You know, risk. When we own and operate and fly warbirds, we know there's an element of risk in it. Frankly, that's one of the reasons we do it, because it's fun. We're wired to enjoy accepting a certain amount of risk. And every human is different. I have a different risk tolerance than you do. You have a different one than somebody else does. But we all have some risk tolerance level, and we enjoy a little bit of risk. Because if we didn't, human civilization would be still living on the civilization. Nobody would have tried to branch out and try something new. So from a 100,000 years of evolution, we're wired to take a little bit of risk and enjoy doing it. And so the problem, though, is when we take on more than we should. And the problem is knowing where that line is and knowing what cognitive biases we have. There's about 100 in the neighborhood of 170 cognitive biases that behavioral psychologists have identified that color the way that we see the world and color the way that we behave, including how we see and accept risk.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That's well said. Well, it's all something to keep in mind when you're rolling the aircraft out to brief that flight, to make sure you follow the flight that you briefed, and then to know where your line is when it comes to risk. 2025 setting up to be a relatively safe year, and then I see again something on the web that sort of fits right into what you were just talking about, where unfortunately at an air show, it looks like a jet crashes, flying a maneuver with the landing gear down, with the flaps down, and we see it sort of disappear behind the hangar. Who knows if that was impromptu? Yeah. Who knows if that was briefed? These things happen every single year where we see a situation develop that everybody sort of looks back on. This year, though, and I bring this up because this year it seems to be there is a heightened attention on aviation and on accidents, especially commercial. But we're going to see that, no doubt, play out this year in television and in media. Yes. Do you have any advice for folks on how to have that extra guard up as we go into this, specifically pertaining to incidents that might fall into the embarrassment category? What do we need to be worried about this time of year as we go out with this heightened attention?
You know, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because no matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, and I'm a fairly conservative person, I think most of us would admit there's a lot of instability right now, if you want to call it that, in Washington, D.C., and particularly in the FAA. And the best thing we can do as pilots is sort of ignore all that, because it doesn't really filter down to, you know, how I'm going to operate my airplane when I pull it out of the hangar and go flying. And we can't let it. So you got to sort of ignore all of that daily thrashing about that we see here in the news, and just go set up doing the job the way you know how to do it and do it best.
Yeah, and I think this was stemming from a question that was written in, and I'm going to take it a step further. I think what they're actually talking about here is how do you handle that if the media comes to you regarding an accident? And I think the best answer there is to have them call someone within NWAC, perhaps, see if there's a national voice that can answer. I know there certainly is with ICAS, with the International Council of Air Shows, but
I got to tell you, my answer, if somebody came to me and said, "Hey, what about this accident?" I would simply refer them to the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board. They investigate the accidents. We have absolutely the best, most professional accident investigation bureau in the world, in the NTSB, and they always get to the bottom of the accident. I shouldn't say always, maybe almost always get to the bottom of the accident and find the root cause. They're very professionals and they will do it. And it takes 6 months, a year, sometimes a year and a half for them to come out with the probable cause, as they call it, of an accident. But anything before that is speculation. And speculation just fuels rumors and it gets the media all hyped up. And like you said, these terrible accidents we've had in the airline industry two, 3 months now, and a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation swirling around all that. But the NTSB, they'll come up with a probable cause and they'll know pretty much exactly what happened, but it'll take a year to get there.
There you go. Had one more question I want to throw out to you. This one came from a listener. He said, can you talk about bailouts during safety months? And we often do talk about that horrible topic of bailing out of an airplane, a stricken airplane, when to do it. What does the data show, or is there any data on bailouts? And I should have asked you this ahead of time, but I just saw the question again, and I wanted to make sure we get this in there.
No, that's a great question. I have never looked at that. I know of the accidents, 96 accidents. I just told you that I looked at from 2000 through 2025. Now, those were just NATA airplanes, but none of them involved a pilot bailing out of the airplane. Not a single one out of 196. It's pretty rare. I mean, I'm thinking back, I'm just trying to remember. There was a TBM that had an engine failure probably 14, 15-ish years ago. I forget exactly. over the Rocky Mountains. And
yeah,
the pilot
this was the one
out.
Over the mountains. They didn't find it. Yeah. And there there was all kind of stuff swirling about with that particular incident. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the most visible was the Mustang that where the pilot low level bells out about that same time frame over in the UK. So
Yeah, that was in England, exactly. So it just off the top of my head, those are the only two Warbird accidents I can think of in 25, 30 years where a pilot actually bailed out of the airplane.
Yeah, but to answer the question,
we talk about it a lot. And
we do. Yeah, and for this listener who's written in, Ryan who's written in here, I will say that rehearsing this and briefing this is what I always hear from our bailout experts. And we'll have another one on. But but I wanted to ask John, I wanted to get your take on that because it is, it's not something you hear a lot of. And it doesn't seem to be in the data that the pilot survived because he bailed out of the airplane. We're seeing folks really stay with this type of machinery all the way down, whether it's for the good or the bad. The real question that I would love to know is in these fatal accidents where perhaps a parachute could have saved a life. If they were wearing one or if it was a case where there was a passenger and they didn't want to leave or, you know, God forbid, over a crowded area and decided to make a decision in the interest of safety for the folks on the ground. All data points,
you know,
that would be fascinating.
The ones that came from engine failures, there's some possibility, the ones that came from engine failures and then resulted in fatalities. There's some possibility that bailing out of the airplane might have been a better choice and not have resulted in a fatality. But the low-level maneuvering type accident and loss of control in the air accidents, they're almost always so low, and by definition, the airplane's out of control, very difficult to get out of while it's spinning and gyrating, and there's high G loads and everything else. It probably was not even a choice for the pilot.
Right. Or had the time, as you might be implying there. Final question today, and this one comes from another listener who wishes to remain anonymous. And I don't know how so many of you got my email on this, but I'm glad you did because this is a great one. I may have mentioned, John, that you were going to be the guest and come on and do this. And it says, please ask John if there's data that supports the insurance difficulties that aging pilots are having. So, it is getting to be more and more challenging for pilots who, as they age, begin to see premiums go out of sight and then also just the inability to get coverage. Is there data that supports this, John?
To my knowledge, there's not. And believe me, it's a soapbox issue for me, you know, because it affects me. I just celebrated my 70th birthday last October, and that's the age where you start seeing your insurance premiums creep up, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how proficient you are, how much you've flown, you know, the insurance premiums are going to start creeping up. And there's a day, and I think for most of us, it's 80-ish years of age where the insurance companies just say, no more, we're not insuring you, period. So at that point, then you've got a choice, quit flying or fly uninsured.
Yeah. And that's a personal choice at that point.
It is. And to answer your question more directly, though, I don't know of any data that supports that, and if there is any, I would love to see it. From what I've heard, accident rates among pilots between 70 and 80 are no higher than accident rates among other pilots. But I've not looked into that data and really been able to nail that down and prove that. But that's it's a great subject, and I got to tell you, it's kind of a sore point with me too.
Yeah, well, it is. It's something that. It seems to be data driven, but there's not a lot of stuff out there on the data. But nonetheless, I appreciate all of you writing in. And John, I really appreciate you coming in here for Safety Month. Anything as we start to wind this down, especially Safety Month this year, what do you want us thinking about as closing out this conversation? What's the capstone for us, John, in this discussion?
Well, here's the capstone. I've always been rubbed just a little bit the wrong way by what we call Safety Month. Because we shouldn't have a safety month. We should have 12 safety months. So the idea that, okay, it's March, we're getting back in the game, we start thinking about safety, and then we just go flying and we don't think about safety anymore. You know, it's sort of the implication. And good safety is sort of the Chinese water torture. It's a few drips every day. Drip, 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 drip. A little safety, a little safety, a little safety constantly, all the time. Every time you go flying, you should be thinking about safety. It's not a one-time event that you practice. Okay, that's over. Now I move on to the next event.
Yeah, something we got to do every month. Well, it's well said, John. And I really appreciate you coming on. If folks want to get in touch with you, how's the best way to do that?
Send me an email at my company address. If it's anything regarding aviation or aviation safety, it's john@airsafetyinvestigators.com.
There you go. Well, John Lomar, thank you so much for coming on. What are you flying this year? If folks want to see you out on the, at a show or out on the ramp, what should they be looking for parked near you?
Well, I still have our T6, the T6 that I raced at Reno all the years. I'm not decided to step down from air racing. And as you know, they're not racing in Reno anymore. They've moved the air races to Roswell, but I won't be there. But I will be out flying my T6. My company, my family has a Cessna 340 that's sort of our family transportation. I fly it around. And then, I'm lucky. I get to fly different airplanes for the commemorative Air Force. I teach in seaplanes for water wing seaplanes up near Birmingham, Alabama. So I'll be out doing that. Usually go up there and do that once a month for them.
That's great. Well, a wide variety of aircraft, but look for John and his former air racing T6. John Lomar from Air Safety Investigators, LLC. Thanks for coming on.
You bet, Matt. Thanks for having me. You have a great day now.
You as well. Folks, there's always more Warbird Radio on warbirdradio.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe, and of course, share this podcast. We certainly appreciate it. And please, while you're on the website, be sure and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You'll never miss an episode as the continuing story unfolds here, not only for Safety Month, but for airmen past and present. I'm Matt Jolly. Thanks for listening to Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.